You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday morning, everybody. Good to have you attending Breakout Radio Church on this first Sunday of February 2019. And today is a very special day in my life because today is my 75th birthday. And I'm going to be sharing notes this morning from the new book I'm writing this year entitled Only One Life. So thank you here on this Super Bowl Sunday and Dale Gentry birthday for joining us at Breakout Radio Church. Of course, we'll be having church at 10 a.m. this morning Central Time, as well as 8 p.m. tonight and throughout the week. But here we are, Gene and I, in our ministry studios here in Austin, Texas, and so delighted to have you joining me at church. And of course, Gene and I are assisted today by Michael Sean Bourne, our producer and engineer and IT man, who's also been working on some of our station situations today. Thankful for him, and Aliona Perchuka, that is our editor, and our entire team. Good to have you at church today at Breakout Radio Church on this first Sunday of February. And of course, Breakout Radio Church is a global missions church without walls, comprised of members of many different geographical locations across America and around the world, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We, of course, are a house of prayer for all nations. Now in our third year as a radio church, I want to thank all of you for the birthday cards, calls, emails, and as I celebrate my 75th birthday today. And before I share my notes, we're going to pray and we're going to sing and praise and worship God. Gene Gentry is coming to pray with me. Gene, it's a wonderful day.
It is. Happy 75th birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's, good morning, Breakout family. So thankful for all of you and all of you that are joining us today. You're a blessing.
Well, you're a blessing too, Gene. And isn't it surreal that we get to lead a radio church comprised of members all across America and nations of the world? Who would have ever thought it, that this would be happening to us?
Yes, it is surreal.
It is surreal. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to worship our spiritual son, Godfrey Bertle. He's going to lead us in praise and worship today. He, of course, sings our theme song, Breakout, and from a message that I preached when he heard me in England in 1997, he wrote this song, and wow! So he's gonna lead us in praise and worship today, and we're gonna dedicate our church service today to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, and we just pray that God is gonna open spiritual ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see, and hearts to receive today, because I believe that there's going to be an impartation. This is a demarcation day. I don't know exactly what that means, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me several months ago and said on my 75th birthday would be a demarcation day. And so I'm going to tell my story, notes from my story today. So we're going to pray, right? And, well, it's been a wonderful journey, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I'm so thankful for you. You've blessed so many people, imparted to so many people over the years. And I just thankful for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chloe Jean Gentry, for making this journey with me for these 57 years of full-time ministry. And, of course, next month we're going to celebrate 58 years in marriage, and 52 years in full-time ministry. And, you know, that's all we've ever desired to do, is to be a blessing.
Yes.
Just to be a blessing.
Yes, be a blessing and do the will of God.
Do the will of God.
Yes.
And God is faithful. We celebrate not only our birthday, but we celebrate the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
And we're grateful. Father Gene and I, we set ourselves in agreement today that your will, plan, and purpose is going to be done here on this Sunday morning, February the 3rd, 2019, in Jesus' name. The will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God is going to be done in the service today. And those that are listening, those that are joining us, wherever they may be, we know that faith comes by hearing. And so people are hearing the word of God today. They can't see us, but they can hear the word. It's going to be a wonderful day. Gene and I set ourselves in agreement. The will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God is going to be done here at Breakout Radio Church today.
Yes.
And throughout this day, and it's going to be, somebody's going to receive a word from the Lord today. We, Gene and I, agree.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Open our spiritual ears to hear, open our spiritual eyes to see, and open our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And thank you, Gene, for sitting through thousands and thousands of services. I estimate that I've ministered more than 15,000 times these past 52 years, and I'm thankful and grateful. Okay, Godfrey Bertel, our spiritual son's coming to lead us in some praise and worship. We're going to praise and worship God together, and then I'm going to share some notes today from the new book I'm writing, Only One Life. So. Are you ready? Here's a song that Godfrey Bertel's going to lead in called Are You Ready, Ready, Ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? If you're ready, you here ready, we go.
Are you ready, ready, ready? 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 Glory in the kitchen, glory in the hall. Glory in the living room, the dining room and all. Glory in the bathroom, angels sing. Glory in the bedroom, sweet, sweet thing. Glory in the couch, glory in the lounge. The glory of the Lord's all over the house. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. Glory in the restaurant, glory in the pub, glory in the prison, glory in the club, glory in the shops, glory in the pub, glory in the bank and cinema, glory in the dentist checking out your teeth. The glory of the Lord is falling in the streets. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Glory in the pub, glory in the prison, glory in the club, glory in the shops, glory in the pub, glory in the bank and cinema, glory in the dentist checking out your teeth. The glory of the Lord falling in the streets. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Hey, 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 hey. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding a ding. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring a ding a ding. Glory on the train, glory in the car, glory on the plane, glory when I run.
Hallelujah. 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 I want to be glory carriers and fire carriers, don't you? Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you and we worship you and we honor you and we magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 The glory of the Lord. We praise you and honor you this morning. We are so thankful. We are so grateful. Lifting up holy hands to holy God if you're not driving. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. So grateful for you, O God. You are such a good God. You're such an awesome God. You're such a mighty, mighty God. We are so thankful for life. Thankful for eternal life. Thank you today, O God, for the hope that makes not ashamed. Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving. And your courts with praise. We are so blessed today to know you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Jesus, we love you. May you be high and lifted up at Breakout Radio Church. May you be exalted today. Thank you, Lord. We love you today. We bless your holy name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're thankful, we're grateful today. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name and honor your name. Magnify the Lord with me, church. Hallelujah. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives thine iniquities, who heals thy diseases, who crowns thy life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who restores and renews our youth and makes us fly like an eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gives us hope. Gives us hope. Gives us strength, gives us daily bread and monthly fruit, supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, who gives us rest when we come to him. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. You're my Father. You're our Father. We are your sons and daughters. We exalt you this morning at Breakout Radio Church. We're grateful. We're thankful. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I pray that you'd minister to every need that's represented here at church today, Breakout Radio Church. Those who are joining us across America and nations of the world, Lord, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for those that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I pray they'll speak in tongues today, just as they did on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They'll be able to pray in that heavenly language that you give them, that special, unique language. Baptize those that do not have a prayer language, those that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those that are attending radio church today that do not know the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray they will come to know you. If you don't know the Lord, the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can just say this prayer to me, Lord Jesus. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. I have eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name. If you said that prayer and would like to be a part of Breakout Radio Church, all you have to do is just go to bpnradio.com. and click on Breakout Radio Church. And there's a membership link there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be in church today. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would just anoint me, your servant, again, as you've done many times these last 52 years. Over 52 years I've been preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Today I want to share some notes from the new book that I'm writing that's going to be published later this year and be printed later this year, entitled Only One Life. And this book is the theme of this book was taken from a motto that was hung on the wall of our living room home. My dad and mom bought a little motto that a man came by. They purchased it for 25 or 50 cents, I think 25 cents, and they nailed it on the wall. And the little motto said, "Only one life, it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." I looked at that motto as a little boy many, many times, hundreds of times, hanging on the wall, and realized that that's all I had is one life. That's all you have is one life here on this earth. And it may be a long life, it may be a short life. Jesus only lived a short life, 33 years old when he went to heaven to be with the Father. My dad lived to be 92 years old. And so some people live short lives, long lives. But whatever time we have on this earth is all the time that we have. We only have one life. And I'm thankful today for the life that I've got to live. Gene and I, we're discussing this morning over our morning coffee and prayer that we've lived a good life. I have more life to live, I believe, but I have a good life, and I'm writing a book this year to share my story. Job said, I wish that somebody would tell my story. And, of course, somebody did, and millions of people or more have read his story, the book of Job, the story of Job. So this morning, I'm going to share a few notes from the book I'm writing about my life, the only life I've been able to live. I was born 75 years ago today, February the 3rd, 1944, in Marl, Oklahoma, a small town in southwestern Oklahoma, only 20 miles from where I grew up in Comanche, Oklahoma, recently proclaimed one of the poorest towns in the entire state of Oklahoma. And I grew up in poverty. As far as finances were concerned, my mom and dad moved to Comanche, Oklahoma when I was 5 years old. And my dad bought a World War II army barrack. There were a few of them for sale down on a lot on Highway 81 going out of Comanche. And my dad bought a lot on 5th and Willow Street in Comanche and moved that army barrack onto that lot and remodeled that World War II army barrack. And I always wanted, when I was growing up, to live in a house that made a turn. It was a shotgun house that we would call, that was about 40 feet long, 40 or 50 feet long. And there was lots of love in that home. And I didn't know that I was poor. Nobody told me that I was poor. But I realize now that I did grow up in poverty, not much, but financially, but lots of love, because my mom and dad loved Jesus. And my dad moved my mom, my sister, and I to Comanche, Oklahoma when I was 5 years old, because the Lord spoke to my dad in prayer one day that he was to go to Comanche and start a church, pioneer a church. So we moved there when I was 5 years old, my dad responding to a word from the Lord to go to Comanche and start a church. And we didn't know anybody when we moved to Comanche. But my mom and dad started the church in the living room of their home, and they started with prayer. They invited a few people to come and pray, And there is where the church started, in the midst of prayer. And I grew up in an environment of prayer. I'm so blessed to tell you that my dad was a Pentecostal preacher. But most of all, he was a prayer warrior. And every morning at 5 o'clock, he would get up and he would pray. And my dad only had one volume, and that was loud. And my dad prayed loud, and he put the D's on the end. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he prayed so loud that the neighbors heard him, because the walls to that remodeled army barrack were very, very thin. And I remember some neighbors coming over, knocking on the door when I was a little boy, and even when I was a teenager, and saying to my dad, "Mr. Gentry, please don't pray so loud. Early in the morning, we're trying to sleep." And I remember when I became a teenager that I was very embarrassed, and I would say to my dad, "Dad, you're embarrassing me but praying so loud." But he just prayed, and every morning he included me in that prayer, and he would say, "Oh God, use my son Del Wayne, use Del Wayne Gentry. May he be a world evangelist. May he go all the over the world and preach the gospel." And after a while, I didn't like that prayer that he prayed, because I thought that all preachers were poor. I didn't want to be poor. I saw the way that some of my other friends lived, and their dads had good jobs, steady jobs. My dad didn't have a steady job growing up. He would go out and he would paint houses, and he would hang paper, and he would do some repairs and remodels, and sometimes he would be out of work for days, and sometimes for several weeks, and we had food to eat, but not a lot of it. And mostly had wieners and pork and bologna. We had lots of bologna and fried potatoes and gravy and homemade biscuits so I didn't have very much growing up. But I knew that I didn't want to be a preacher. Didn't want to be a preacher. My dad prophesied to me gave me a prophetic word when I was 9 years old, and he said to me, "Son, you're going to be a preacher of the gospel." But I didn't want to be a preacher of the gospel. I wanted to be a radio announcer, a disc jockey, a sportscaster, because when I was in the eighth grade, my English teacher, Mrs. Bicknell in Comanche, Oklahoma, said, "Dale, you're going to be a radio announcer." And I said, "Yes," and I would begin to practice being a radio announcer and a sportscaster. I would throw the basketball against the wall of that remodeled army barrack, and I would pretend that I was a sportscaster, play by play, and I would hold a spoon up and pretend that I was a disc jockey and I was a radio announcer. And so that was the dream I had in my heart. And so I remember growing up, and I remember going to school every day, and my mom giving me a quarter so that I could buy my lunch, 15 cents for a hot dog or a hamburger, and 5 cents for a Coke, and 5 cents for a candy bar. And that was my lunch money almost every year that I was growing up. And I remember that when I got in high school, that my dad announced one day that we were going to move to a neighboring town called Walters, Oklahoma, only 20 miles from Comanche, the county seat of Cotton County, Walters, Oklahoma, where we started attending an Assemblies of God church there in Walters, Oklahoma. And one Friday night, during a Friday night revival service, a young lady came to the church as a visitor, invited by her cousin Elsie. Her name was Chloe Jean Denham, and I took one look at her. I was 15, and she was 13, and I said to myself, "One day I will marry her." I fell in love with Chloe Jean Denham, who later was to become Chloe Jean Gentry, and I got the desire of my heart. My dreams came true, and I married Chloe Jean Denham when we were both teenagers. And 2 years later, our son Rick was born, and then a little later, our daughter Darla was born. And eventually I graduated from Elkins Institute of Radio and Electronics in Dallas, Texas, became a radio announcer and engineer, And my dreams came true. A short time later, I landed a great job at a CBS affiliate radio station in Wichita Falls, Texas. We were able to buy a nice home. We bought a new car, and our little boy, little son, Rick, had a park behind our home in Wichita Falls that he was able to play. I had a little dog named Tex, and we had a good salary, and I was an engineer and announcer at the radio station. People heard me every morning play music and give the news, and it looked like that all of our dreams had come true. We were attending a nice church in a nice city, and it looked like that my 10-year plan was in motion. But something began to happen in my life. I began to feel very empty on the inside. I began to feel so unfulfilled. And one morning, on my way to church to work at a radio station early in the morning, I said to God, "God, I'm so unfulfilled in life. What can you do for me?" And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Son, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life." I was already getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning because that being an engineer at the radio station, I had to be at work at 3:30. I knew that meant I would get up at 2 o'clock every morning, but I was desperate. And that one act of obedience opened up my entire life, my entire future, my entire world. And I got up the next morning. It was February 1966, 53 years ago this month. 50 years ago this month, I became a prayer. A prayer is one as a certain time at a certain place. And I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would go to a certain place into the living room of my home, and there I began to give God the first hour of my day. And I found out there were three levels of prayer. First is the desire level. I desired for God's will to be done in my life. God was recreating something. God was stirring me up. God was preparing me for a new season. There was a demarcation that took place in my life. Our lives are filled with demarcations. That means a certain time in life, a certain point in life where things begin to change and we enter into a new season. And so it was that February morning, 53 years ago, that I began to get up and pray. It was a demarcation. I began to give God the first hour of my day. There's a desire level. Then there was a discipline level, because there were some mornings I did not feel like getting up and praying. There were some mornings I did not feel led to pray. There were some mornings it was very difficult. There were some mornings that voices said to me, "Oh no," but yet another voice said, "Oh yes," and I kept praying. And then one Sunday night in June of 1966, a prophet came to our church. A prophet by the name of David Wilkerson came from New York City, where he had started a ministry called Teen Challenge. And David Wilkerson preached at that church, Southside Assembly of God Church, Wichita Falls, Texas. And the pastor was Carl Alcorn, and his preaching stirred my spirit. I watched how he moved in the spirit and the power of God, and just watching him and listening to him, I became a mentoree. And David Wilkerson preached that night, and after the service, after he got through preaching, I got down on my knees and I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, "Son, I want you to preach my gospel. Will you preach my gospel?" And I said, "Yes, I will." Even though when I was growing up, I did not want to be a preacher. That was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a radio announcer, sportscaster. But now God was calling me to preach, and now I was consumed with that call. And I went home and I said to Jean, "God called me to preach tonight. Will you go with me to preach?" I did not know what all that meant, but I knew it was another demarcation in my life. And my wife, Chloe Jean Gentry, Mrs. America, said, "Yes, Dale, wherever you go, I will go." And for 53 years, almost 53 years, she has kept that promise. We have traveled millions of miles, pastored churches, and not realizing what was going to happen. But it was a demarcation in that June of 1966. And almost immediately I began to preach. I said to the youth pastor, God has called me to preach. Kern Choate said, Dale, you can preach on Saturday night. And almost instantly I began to preach, and I began to preach anywhere that I had an opportunity. I lived to preach the gospel. And finally, there was another demarcation in 1967 when Gene and I sold our home and everything we had. And whatever we had left, we put in a 35-foot Scuzzo trailer. My wife and my little boy, Rick, and our dog, Tex, got in that trailer with one revival and started down the road in March the 12th, 1967. Another demarcation in our life, traveling to preach the gospel on the strength of one revival. 1967, and then in 19, later on that year, God called us to lead a church with 20, comprised of 25 people. Never despise the day of small things. Never despise the day of small beginnings. But we took a radical step of faith, leaving our security blanket, leaving everything that I'd been trained for, that we had worked for. Gene leaving the security of a nice home, and our little son being taken away eventually from his dog Tex, who ran off and didn't want to be in the ministry, and no longer having a guaranteed income, and went to pastor a little church in Holiday, Texas with 25 people, and whatever the tithes and offerings were, not very much. I think we averaged about $65 a week during those next 2 years of ministry. They gave us all the tithes and offerings. We had paid the utility bills out of those, and we pastored there starting in 1967, and then in 1970, we went to a little town called Rush Springs, Oklahoma, in southwestern Oklahoma. We returned to Oklahoma only a short distance from where I grew up, the watermelon capital of the world. We went there as young pastors, 26 and at 24, I guess we was. And they said if they'd known how young we were, they wouldn't have elected us. But we went there, and we began to preach. We began to send buses out. And there in that little town, we grew to over 400 people because we had this passion to do the will of God, to preach the gospel. It was there in that little town that I went to pastoring there in Rush Springs, Oklahoma, that one Saturday night, my youth pastor, Don Couch, and I went to Duncan, Oklahoma, 20 miles away, to a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and I heard a man by the name of Larry Lee. He was a youth pastor of a Baptist church in Dallas, Texas, share his testimony of how he had obeyed God and how God had saved him and when he was in a mental institution, and how he was ministering to 1,000 young people at a Baptist church called Beverly Hills Baptist Church in Dallas, where 1,000 people were in his youth group. And I didn't realize that one appointment, that one connection with Larry Lee would change my life. We began to pray together. And then in 1977, Gene and I went to Oklahoma City, a neighboring town called Dale City, Oklahoma, to pastor a church called First Assembly of God Church in Dale City, Oklahoma, where we stayed for 8 years and started a Christian school that is still going today. And we were there for 8 years. And then in 1985, we had another demarcation in our life. We were no longer pastors, but we went to Rockwall, Texas, one of the fastest growing churches in America. We left the comforts of a church in Oklahoma City where our salary was $4,000 a month plus, and went to Rockwall, Texas, where our salary was $1,000 a month. And they did give us a condo to live in. We had a sharp downturn in our economy. It was a step of faith. I no longer was with the Assemblies of God that gave me my start in the ministry, but I was with Gene and I were in a whole new world, and no longer was I a senior pastor, a lead pastor. But we obeyed God and moved to Rockwall, Texas, and started traveling out and started leading prayer in churches across America. I became the first-time prayer associate of Dr. Larry Lee, who was calling America to pray. There was an impartation there of prayer, and Larry Lee at that time had 300,000 people associated with his prayer ministry. Gene and I began to launch out and begin to travel across America and different nations of the world, calling churches to pray, leading prayer every morning, and starting prayer revivals and starting fires. And from 1985 until 1990, we would do three-day prayer revivals, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'd travel out on Saturday and for 5 years. And then in January of 1990, after we had moved back to Oklahoma City, we were praying in the bedroom of our home. Gene and I were praying, and the Holy Ghost said to me, you're going to start going into churches, and you're going to start staying for weeks or months at a time, leading prayer revivals. And you're going to pray at each place you go. You're going to pray until there is a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Before there's a breakout, there is a breakthrough. David said in Psalms 18, I'm going to run through a troop. That's a breakthrough. And then he said, I'm going to leap over a wall. That's a breakout. When you get over the wall, you go to places you've never been, do things you've never done, say things you never said, meet people you never met, operate in gifts you never operated in. And it was during that time from 85 to 87 that the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, I don't want you going from church to church or place to place. I want you to go where you have a connection, where you have a relationship. And God began to speak to me about relationships, how that connecting with certain people or certain churches was the key to our future. And so I begin to realize that relationships are spelled T-I-M-E. And so Gene and I begin to travel to churches where we had a connection, where we had a relationship with, where the pastor and his wife were willing to spend time with us. And in December of 1986, Gene and I started a circuit of churches. We invited about 21 or 22 pastors to Dallas, Texas, on December the 19th, 1986. And we shared our vision of relationships, churches and pastors that wanted us to come to their church two or three times a year as a prayer and prophetic voice. We had about 19 or 20 pastors that responded, and we started in 1986. From 1986 until 2006, we had a circuit of churches that we went to that we built relationship with these churches and pastors, churches from all denominations and all of different persuasions and doctrines, and we begin to learn the power of divine appointments and divine connections and relationships. In January of 1990, we received that word of extended meetings, of protected revivals, and it started happening June of 1990, where we went to a church in West Columbia, Texas. We went there for 3 days, and we stayed for 11 weeks. And it started. And for 8 years, from 1990 until 1998, Gene and I went to different churches across America, including the United Kingdom and other nations of the world, where we would lead protracted meetings. Some of those revivals, prayer revivals, lasting for many weeks at a time, including the one that we led in Fort Worth, Texas at Calvary Cathedral International, 1994, that lasted for 24 weeks, day and night. We finally moved to Fort Worth, continued to lead revival for the next 3 years. So from 1990 to 1998, we were gone most of the time. 1 year, Gene was only able to spend 6 weeks in our home, at home. because of our travels from one church to another church, spreading the revival fires. And we begin to see revival spread across America, into England, into Scotland, into Germany, and to other nations of the world, and including Canada, where we led 11-week revival, where sometimes it was 40 below zero. And but we were called to light and ignite fires of revival. Many of those revivals still continuing today. And but it was a sacrifice to be away from home, to travel millions of miles, and to spend all of those times in hotel rooms. But you must understand that if you're going to do the will of God, if God's will is going to be included in your story, there are sacrifices. And Gene has moved out of many homes. We've been able to live in 9 brand new homes, but 8 of those new homes, Gene moved out because God was moving us to a new location. There was a new demarcation that was represented in our lives. It was during that period that we went to London and led a month-long revival, which ignited a revival in the nation of England. And we were able to participate in the prayer at Wembley Stadium that attracted between 40 and 45,000 people. There we had divine connections that still remain today. It was during that period of 1990 through 1998 that we were invited to lead prayer at the White House on 2 different occasions. It was during that period from 1990 to 98 that the Lord spoke to me about breakout. He spoke to me to start a breakout prayer network to call 1,000 points of light to pray. And I responded after leading prayer at the White House. I started Breakout Prayer Network. Now we have over 1,400 churches that are represented in the Breakout Prayer Network. And then we continued to obey God, knowing there was no stopping point. There was no stopping point. And we started in 2000, we started a training center for those that were called to full-time ministry, spending a year of mentoring and training them. One couple spent their entire inheritance coming from Germany to Rockwall, Texas, where we had the training center. They spent all of their inheritance to come and be trained and mentored in our school in 2001. And today they have a prophetic ministry in Germany and are making a tremendous impact. Many of those that attended our school are doing great exploits for God. In 2001, Gene and I moved to England at the request of Martin and Anna Smith and they provided us a cottage. We came back later that year to lead a revival in Roswell, New Mexico. During the 6th week of the revival, the pastor there, John Ogle, announced that he was moving to Dallas, Texas, and we were left there as interim pastors. Finally, we knew that we were to stay for a while. And from 2001 until 2006, Gene and I led that great church, Gateway Church International, in Roswell, New Mexico. And we were able to do some great exploits for God. We were challenged during that time when Jean found out that she had cancer. But later on, she received a miraculous healing of that cancer. She wrote a book, and many people have been healed just reading Jean's book. There have been challenges along the way. We've gone through some floods and some fires and some difficult times, some days of laughing and days of joy, but there's been some nights that we spent weeping and knowing that we could not quit. There's been some times that I've wanted to quit along the way, but Gene said, no, we can't quit, Dale. We've got to finish strong. We've got to finish our course. And so we continued to preach the gospel. Even when we were leading the church in Roswell, New Mexico, we continued to travel. We continued to preach the gospel. We continue to lead prayer revivals and prayer meetings and preach into different cities and nations of the world. Finally, in 1996, we realized that our season, our five-year season, had come and gone in Roswell, New Mexico. It was a sad time leaving our children and our grandchildren there in Roswell. But in 2006, we knew that our season had come to a close. And so we said goodbye to the wonderful people in Roswell, New Mexico, and to our family members. You know, it's difficult to leave your kids and grandkids. We did it more than once. But, you know, if you're going to do the will of God, you're going to have to obey. The two things I've learned, in addition to the different prayer seasons, which is the desire level, the discipline level, and the delight level. And the delight level is where you begin to delight yourself in the Lord and do His will, knowing you only have one life. But it may be leaving everything you have. It may be leaving your job. It may be leaving your business. It might be leaving your home, your new home. Jean left a brand new home we had built in Rush Springs, Oklahoma. She loved that home. We oversaw the building of that home on an acre of property. She put everything, design and everything, and we stood in the living room of that home and wept and cried, and Jean left that home and moved into a parsonage in Dale City, Oklahoma, that was 50 years old and didn't even have a dishwasher. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, church, today, the will of God will cost you something. And that's why so many people never live life. They only go through life because they're not willing to make any sacrifices. It may cost you everything. But we declared, Gene and Dale Gentry declared, we only have one life to live, and we will give that one life to the cause. Whatever it costs us, whatever we have to do, and sometimes even leaving your family, leaving your vocation, leaving your home, leaving a town or a city. I remember the places that we left as pastors. I wept and cried. It was difficult saying goodbye. It was difficult starting over. It was difficult starting a new season. But we learned that obedience, that it was sacrifice, that obedience is better than sacrifice. To do the will of God is the most important thing in your life. We moved to Rockwall, Texas in 1985. We left our son, who was still a teenager. He didn't want to move with us. We left him there, took our daughter, who later left and went to ORU, to college at Oral Roberts University. And Gene and I were there beginning a new season, just us and God. But we determined that we were going to do the will of God. During that time that we were at Church on the Rock, Pastor Larry Lee introduced us to these 600 pastors, and we started traveling and doing these prayer revivals. There's so much more of our story that I'm going to tell, and I'm going to tell when you read my book, Only One Life. It will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. In 2006, we moved back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Lived in Rockwall, Texas, where we began to continue to lead prayer revivals. In 2013, we felt like we needed to move close to our family, so we moved from there to Austin, Texas. We made many moves. And 2013, we moved to Austin, Texas. And in 2014, we started BPN Radio and a Word from God, where the Lord said to me, "Son, I want you to start leading prayer 24 hours a day on internet radio." I didn't know how I could do that. Gene even said to me, "Dale, how can you lead prayer 24 hours a day? When are you going to eat? When are you going to sleep?" But I've learned over the years that we know in part. According to 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Only had a part of it. But out of obedience, I began to declare, I'm going to lead prayer 24 hours a day. But I needed help. I realized, I read in my Bible today, I read the names of scores of men that have helped me along the way. Men that gave me my first revivals, men that opened the door, men that introduced me, men that encouraged me, men that spoke into my life. And there are scores and scores, and I begin to read their names, and I begin to say, thank you, Lord, for this man. Thank you, Lord, for this man. Many of them already gone to heaven. But I couldn't have made it without divine appointments and divine connections. But I've learned that in every season of my life, someone is there to help me. Every season, every new demarcation in my life, there are those that are there to help me and say, yes, I can help you. And ladies and gentlemen, church members, I want to tell you today, Gene and I, we are living today to help other people. We are living our life today to be a blessing. To say, what can we do for you? How can we help you? We're coming to a place where we really don't have any retirement. I opted out of Social Security early on in my ministry. And we've given most everything away. How are we going to finish up? We're going to finish strong. Because David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. What have we done with our money? What have we done with our time? What have we done with our life? We have given it away. We have given everything we have for the gospel, for the ministry. We've given it all away. We've sown into people just as other people have sown into us. These past many, many years, 52 years next month of full-time ministry, 53 years this year, March the 12th, June, of preaching the gospel. What am I saying today? We only have one life. And I did not know how I was going to lead prayer on the internet, but there was a man by the name of Michael Schonborn who lived in England that I'd met several years before, who had come to Roswell to help us try to start a radio station there. And I remembered him, and I called Michael and I said, would you help me? And he said, yes, I will help you. And he and a lady by the name of Irina from Moldova, she said, I'll help you. And we started BPN Radio. Michael Schonborn helped me start going full time on the radio station. And I invited others to come and share my microphone. In 2015, the Holy Spirit spoke to us that the traveling ministry that we had was ending as I stood at Harvest Church, a new Harvest Church in Clewiston, Florida, in December of 2015, and said, our traveling season, as we have known it before, has come to a close. It was a demarcation. And then in 2016, we started Breakout Radio Church. I never heard of a radio church, but we started. The IRS said, we'll give you recognition, and people that contribute will get tax-deductible gifts if they want it. And now at Breakout Radio Church, we have reached many nations. At BPN Radio, we reached over 50,000 people, over 170 nations since 2014. At Breakout Radio Church that we started in 2016, we now have members across America and around the world, for one reason or another, are not able to attend church on Sunday morning, or they don't have a church or don't have a pastor. And here we are. And here I am, here on this Sunday morning, celebrating my 75th birthday, February the 3rd, 2019. And we have come. The Holy Spirit spoke to me months ago that on my birthday, February the 3rd, 2019, would be another demarcation in our lives and ministry. I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but I know the Holy Spirit will reveal that to me, and I'll be able to share that with you. In the meantime, we're going to continue to do the will, plan, and purpose of God. We're going to continue to tell our story, and we're going to continue to encourage you to tell your story. Write your story down. Write it in a book. Write it. Jeremiah said, write it in a book. Job said, I'm going to write it in a book. Write your story down, even if it's a short testimony, even if it's a short story, if it's only 3 pages or 100 pages or 500 pages, write your story down. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that those attending Breakout Radio Church this morning, as we broadcast live from our ministry center in Austin, Texas, as we share notes from my book. It's actually Gene and I's story, because I couldn't have done it without her. And I couldn't have done it without other people, even some listening today here attending Breakout Radio Church. Couldn't have done it without them. It takes people. Divine appointments, divine connections. And I thank you, Lord, today for divine appointments and divine connections. And I pray today that everyone under the sound of my voice will obey God. What is the key? What is the key to a successful life? We pray and we obey. What do? We pray and obey. It's only one life. It will soon be passed. The Bible said that life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And I could have never done it without my wonderful wife, Jean Gentry, Mrs. America, who said to me on that June night in 1967, "I'll go where you go and I'll do what you do." There is nothing that two people in agreement cannot do. If you're agreeing together and working together. And so, Jean, thank you. And we pray today for everyone that is listening today that the will of God be done in their lives in Jesus' name. And we pray right now for those that are giving their tithes and their contributions, making your check to Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And Gene, we made a declaration when we got married almost 58 years ago that we were going to give God the first 10%. We actually brought it to the pastor, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah. And we would give the pastor our tithes and our offerings. Even after we got married and I was working at the service station, when our pastor there would come by and we owed the tithes, we would take and put the tithes in his hand. And we've made that practice, and God has blessed us because of our giving, hasn't it?
Yes, he has. We've been faithful, and he in return has been faithful to supply our needs. And as you give, then God always gives back.
She does. We've proven him.
Yes, we have.
Malachi said, "Prove me." We have proven God that if we give him the first 10% of our income, which is really not ours anyhow, it's God's.
That's right.
And so if you want to use your PayPal credit card or debit card, just go to bpnradio.com and click on the donate button. You'll see Gene and I's picture there. You can use your PayPal credit card or debit card. And, Father, we just bless the people that are giving their tithes and contributions today. Members of Breakout Radio Church, I bless them today. I ask that you bless them and prosper them. And we pray the will of God be done in every heart and life, every person that is attending Breakout Radio Church today.
Yes.
We bless them. And we pray the will, plan, and purpose of God. We only help one life. What is your story going to contain? Write your story down. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's what we want to do. That's what I want to do here on my 75th birthday. I want to say to you, God, you're a good God. I've proven you're a good God. God is a good God. He's taken care of us, hasn't he, Gene?
Yes, he has. And we're so thankful for all of you that have been faithful to sow. And you're a blessing to our lives.
Yes,
and we're so
are.
Thankful and grateful for
you. Yes, you are.
And
what is the conclusion of the whole matter? That we're going to serve God.
Yes, and the will of God.
We're going to do the will of God.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. We're going to do the will of God because God is a good God, awesome God, merciful God, and a faithful God who always keeps his promises.
Yes, he does.
And so we bless you today. We ask God to bless you and keep you. Remember that the program today will be repeated at 10 o'clock this morning, Central Time. And at 8 o'clock tonight, and then through the week, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. So thankful that you've came to church today, and thank you for helping us celebrate our birthday, my birthday, here today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Have a blessed day. We love you.
Yes, we do. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming to church.